361 points. Which is not enough to pass Ukraine. And we have a new winner of the Eurovision Song Contest 2016. It's Ukraine!
Well, so that happened. Sort of a weird way to open the show, but hey, that's what we're talking about, so let's just get right into it. You're listening to Tip Tap Tip, Calgary's Eurovision podcast, right?
For the last episode this year, yes, you can say that.
Yep, and then we will be getting onto other things, but we have lots to talk about in regards to the Eurovision Song Contest.
Let's nerd out.
Yeah, so this is all Eurovision from start to finish, this entire episode. So where do we start? Since the last episode where Rochelle and I had the party, which we've been talking about for a few episodes at least, and that went well. It went really well.
It went really good. This is the third year that we've had it at the Danish Canadian Club, and they always have the most amazing food. I love. We need, you know what? I think we should just go there more than just once a year.
I feel like we should because, because, you know,
it's good. It's fun. And the
I like the environment. It's kind of a casual place. Yeah. It's central. It's
they have parking.
It's European. Yeah, they have parking.
Yeah.
All right, let's make a point of that. Let's,
I think
let's
we not should. Visit. I think it's time for us to like up the ante and maybe even get a Danish membership, even though we're not Danish.
We can do that even though we're not Danish?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you just give them money.
Oh, well, I guess you can do anything if you give people money, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because like every year that we have it there, they're just so good. And this year, more people are coming. Every year, more people are coming. And it's just so much fun. It makes it so much fun, more people that are there. And, you know, I hope that I was able to say hi to everybody.
I think you did.
I think I went around to a few people. There's some people who came in a little bit later and I didn't get a chance to say hi to them and stuff. So,
but if anybody who did attend the party, thank you. And if you happen to be a listener, thank you.
Because it is fun. This is like, I just recently introduced someone to Eurovision. I told them about it and I told them to watch the winning song. And she was like, thank you so much for introducing this to me. This sounds amazing. And I'm like, yeah, Eric introduced this to me how many years ago?
Well, I think the first time we watched, well, the first party we had was in 2009. So we've been doing this.
Norway one.
Yeah.
With a violin guy.
Yeah, Alexander Rybak, Fairy Tale.
Yeah, that was my first Eurovision. That was a while ago. And I'm hooked. It's fun.
It is lots of fun.
And Sweden this year put on the most amazing show, the most hilarious videos throughout the semifinals. They didn't do as many of those little videos during the finals. So
no, because
if people didn't watch the semifinals, you got to watch the semifinals.
This
year.
Like, yeah, they were really good because there's a lot of acts which didn't get to the finals. I think probably 16 or so. But not only that, they had like little skits and fun stuff.
And performances, dance performances by, I'm assuming, local Swedish groups.
We have to talk about Man versus Machine, which was amazing. I've never seen awesome. Human and robot choreographed dance. It was incredible. It was incredible.
What's that called? Like when you it's like a dance off. It was like a dance off.
Yeah, between like three robots and humans, and it was.
And it wasn't like robots that looked like people. It was robot arms,
big like robot arms, which were just killing it.
Yeah, and my favorite joke was. Well, that one of the hosts this year, her name was Petra, and this is the second year that she's hosted Eurovision, and she's hilarious. I think she is so funny. So the title of the song was called Man versus Machine. And she's like, as a single woman, sometimes we don't have that choice.
she was really good. And it's in as much as I, it's going to be unfortunate, next year, not having her as a host,
I know. I say she just goes to Ukraine and hosts it again.
I see she's just the permanent host every year.
That makes a huge difference if the host is good or not.
Well, take the year before because year before, I believe the host was Conchita Wurst, and not really a good host. Good singer, good performer, but when it came to actual hosting, not so much. It was just kind of like not really interesting or fun.
Like, yeah.
The thing I liked about the Swedish show is they had lots of fun poking fun at themselves in
Yeah, and that was like the little video clips that they did in between, while they're tallying things up, while the acts are getting ready, and they, you know, of course, they had to talk about ABBA and the history of music and how important Eurovision is to the Swedes and stuff like that. But then they were making fun of themselves too.
Oh yeah,
and it was hilarious.
I think there was the one performance they did of how to make a perfect Eurovision song in the finals.
That was amazing. I think I almost spilt a tray of drinks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they were doing that. And I remember when we were critiquing the Russian song.
Yeah.
The first time that we saw it, I was like, okay, here is the list. Wind machine, check, blah, 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 check, blah, blah, you know, like, and we basically came up with our own checklist. And I guess it's pretty obvious to everybody else, like what the checklist is for Eurovision.
Yeah.
And then, so I just started laughing. Like when they, when Lorraine character like danced across the stage and then when they had the Lord Eye guy come out and it was so funny. I like leaned back in my chair and put my arms up and I was like, ah! And then the person in the Danish Canadian Club was holding a tray of cups right behind me.
Oh,
and thankfully I didn't knock it over.
But yeah, let's talk about, should we get right into the winner or should we go?
I want to know who were your top three? Who was your top three before going in? Do you remember?
Who did I want to win? Who did I think was going to win?
Oh, okay. Who did you think was going to win?
I thought Australia was going to do it. And for her, the longest time during the voting, when they were announcing the votes, it looked like it was going to happen. Just right, actually, basically like, right up until the end. It was such a nail biter. And that's one of the, we'll talk about the voting later.
Okay, so you thought that was going to win, but who did you want to win? Like, who would you have voted for?
I would have voted for Australia because it was a good song.
Yeah.
And it was well performed.
Second runner up?
I have to say Bulgaria brought it. So, I don't know if they'd be probably my third, And I would say, you know, I do like the Netherlands song, but, I think I really kind of warmed up to the France song, believe it or not. And it's not something I thought I would like, but then I heard it again at the finals. I'm like, actually, this is really, really good. Like, you know, and this year they did really well. I think they came in like fifth or something like that. I did like the Bulgaria came in fourth, which is really good for them because they haven't.
Did you say the France song or the Italian song?
Let's check out the results. Just go to Eurovision.
No, what were you just saying? The France song or the
I like the France song.
The France song. Yeah. I think the France and the Italian song both were. I felt like there were a lot of really good songs this year. I feel like a lot of countries.
Well, you know what's happening, right?
Is something up the ante or something?
I was giving some thought to this yesterday. I'm like, what? Like, because we've been watching Eurovision as a couple for this is our seventh year, right? And I remember the first few years that we watched it, there was a lot of like weird. There's a lot more weird stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I was doing some digging. I'm like, what? Like, you know, why? What? You know what? Why is there less weird stuff, and why is the quality of songs, generally speaking, have moved up in the last few years? And I figured it out basically. And what,
like by yourself or with help from?
I did some research.
Okay.
So what happened is the way that the Eurovision worked up until around year 2000. Voting was done by a jury. Now, between the years 2000 and 2009, they did exclusively telephone voting. No, there were no juries, right? So between those 9 years, contributors just put out the craziest shit because they were trying to appeal to the telephone vote as opposed to actually putting out quality music that would appeal to a jury, right?
Oh, okay.
So now that ended in 2009.
When we started watching it, basically.
The last year that occurred was 2009. 2010 forward, it's now a split 50-50, right?
Yeah.
So now people are they can't just put out garbage. Like they can't put out shit like some of the weird shit that happened in
like the parrot.
Yeah, the rapping turkey from Ireland. They put that in simply because they wanted to appeal to the viewing public, and
and I think that sort of shock appeal works when it is the public, because then people start talking about it, like, "Oh my goodness, did you see that rapping turkey?"
But you know, but then the show just becomes a spectacle, right? Because it's just appealing to the lowest common denominator, right? But you know, once you kind of balance out that with a jury aspect of it, which counts for 50% of the final score,
and the jury are people who are in the recording industry,
So sometimes in the case of this year, it's weird though, because in the case of this year, and actually the last 2 years, there's been the popular vote has not been the jury vote. So there's been a case where because the jury voted for something else, the popular vote didn't get in. Like I think that happened last year, and then it happened again this year. Russia was like the popular vote. I think it was Russia was the popular vote. From just through telephone voting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they didn't win.
And Italy won the telephone vote last year, and they didn't win. So a bit of controversy because people there's a lot of back and forth on the internet, people saying, "Well, eliminate the jury." I'm like, "No, because you start doing that, you'll get the kind of shit that happened like 10 years ago with dumb shit."
Yeah, I don't know. I think the jury is okay because they're professionals in the industry.
Yeah.
And they hold things to a higher standard because they have the knowledge in the industry.
Yeah.
Whereas, like the regular person is just going to be like, "I like that one."
Well, exactly. Like, it. You know, a couple years ago when Poland, I think it was 3 years ago when Poland entered with those milkmaids, they won the popular vote.
That would have been the popular vote.
If it was left to just telephone voting, Poland would have won with those milkmaids.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that, and I thought, that's ridiculous. Like, all you have to do is throw some cleavage in there, and people will vote for it.
Oh, yeah,
like,
people loved it.
The song was okay, but it wasn't okay like...
I like the song, but it wasn't my number one song.
No, it wasn't really a good song cleavage.
And it was
funny.
And as Eurovision gets bigger and bigger and more people know more about it, is that the song that you want to represent? You know, a song contest where supposedly countries are putting out the best songs that they can come up with and then competing on a world stage.
But the thing that makes it interesting with the jury vote and the popular vote is that sometimes it can be the popular vote can win. Like you
said, sometimes
right?
it syncs up, like in Lorraine, like it was both the popular favorite and the jury favorite.
Yeah.
And
this year, if there was no popular favorite, it would have been Australia.
Yeah.
And then the popular vote made it into Ukraine.
Yeah. Like the interesting thing is,
but who got the highest for the popular vote was Russia, wasn't
highest
it?
For popular vote was Russia. Highest for jury was Australia, but then Ukraine was second for both. But because when you combine the two
numbers,
it takes it just slightly over the top, even though Ukraine was second in both the popular and the jury. This is probably super interesting to viewers, but whatever. It's our Eurovision episode.
We are nerding out this time. So if you are not a Eurovision fan, tune in next time.
So let's play the winning.
This is a Eurovision episode.
Yeah, let's play the winning performance. This is Jamala who represented
you. Okay, I just want to say, because you just said who you thought was going to win. Yeah. I thought before we watched the show, I thought That's for sure. Russia's going to win because everybody was talking about Russia. Like, you know, even like CBC, Canadian Broadcasting.
Yeah.
You know, they called it. They said that Russia was going to win. So I said either Russia or Australia for sure, because I mean, I think the Australian song is amazing and the Russian song, kind of like okay, but the performance blew my mind. Like, if you have not seen the grand final performance of this guy and what happens
in retrospect,
you need to watch it. It is pretty cool.
It is a good performance.
And he sings really good, but the song is not that great. It's not that great.
If you listen to it without the performance, it's okay. And that's really about it.
Yeah. But the song that won for Ukraine, I remember saying to somebody at the party, I was like, I hope this one wins, but you know, I wasn't sure that the vote was going to swing that way. So I was really happy when this song won because
it's not your typical song where it's like a pop song or it's
Eric, you're just, you sway to the pop songs.
I do.
Love the pop songs.
I do.
I love this song because I think that it is emotional. It is intense. Mm-hmm. This woman is like bearing her soul on stage and it's just so expressive in the way that she's singing. I love it. It's so good.
Well, let's play it. This is the performance from Jamala, who was representing Ukraine. This is her song, 1944, which was played. This is a performance from the final. So just have a listen.
Strangers are coming, they come to your house, they kill you all and say, we're not guilty, not guilty. Where is your mind? Humanity cries. You think you're a god, but everyone dies. Don't swallow my soul, our souls. Ooh.
There you go. That's your winner for this year, Jamala, with 1944.
Awesome. I love that song so much. So we just brought up the description for what the song is about because I didn't know this before going in. And one of our guests at the Eurovision Song Contest that we did explained it to me. And I'm like, oh, that totally makes sense now. So I'm just going to read a quick description of what it means. The lyrics for 1944 concern the deportation of the Crimean Tartars in the 1940s by the Soviet Union at the hands of Joseph Stalin because of their alleged collaboration with the Nazis. Jamala was particularly inspired by the story of her great-grandmother, Nazie Khan, who was in her mid-20s when she and her five children were deported to barren Central Asia. One of the daughters did not survive the journey. Jamala's great-grandfather was fighting in World War II in the Red Army at this time and could not protect his family. The song's chorus in the Crimean Tartar language is made up of words from a Crimean Tartar folk song called Iguzikwirim that Jamala had heard from her great-grandmother, reflecting on the loss of a youth which could not be spent in her homeland. The song features the duduk and the use of the mugham vocal style.
Sure. Sounds good to me. It was, you know,
see that this is what I like about Eurovision is when, you know, all these different countries are showing their culture and their history, and
it's not just like some guy like climbing icebergs on a stage. It's,
yeah, not all the time.
But there's been a lot of controversy around this song because one of the rules around Eurovision is that no songs can be political. And there was accusations about this particular song being political because of its content. But they were found, basically those accusations were unfounded because this is more of a historical story. And people thought that it was kind of an underhanded dig at the current situation between Ukraine and Russia right now. But
you know what? I think if people want to look at it that way, they'll find a way to look at it that way.
The thing is, like, people after every, and I've noticed this just reading the comments the day after Eurovision, no one is ever like the loud. There's always complainers about the winner. Last year, there was complainers saying that the Swedish song did not deserve to win because, you know, it wasn't the popular vote. The year before that, people were saying, oh, the only reason that Conchita Wurst won is just because people were mad at the Russians and that she was, the juries were, you know, she was appealing to the jury vote, you know, the jury LGBT.
Yeah. Well, so
I know, like, no one's ever happy, like, with the winner, basically.
Yeah. There is always going to be something. Yeah. I get what you're saying, but I think Eurovision has made a point not to be political.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe the reason why people are upset with this, because they're like, we thought Eurovision was not political. But the thing is, like, I really think this song is her singing about her family history and something that happened,
like,
she
wrote the song
specifically.
So it's like,
it's, you know, and that's what artists do, is they express things that have happened to them, or they show things that have happened to them. And, you know, You interpret it how you want. That's what it is.
Now, one of my favorite parts of the show, of course, between the performances, was the change to the way that the voting was presented. Like, in years past, it was just,
I was confused, but then I got it.
Well, here's a minute and a half video which kind of explains the difference between.
Oh, I should have watched this before.
I know, but this explains it all.
Okay.
In this video, we are presenting an exciting big change in the voting procedure of the Eurovision Song Contest. This is how it works. First, each national professional jury will award 1 to 8, 10 and 12 points to their favourites. In the grand final, these points will be announced by the spokespersons from all participating countries in the usual way. Based on the...
And some of these spokespeople are carrying a small dock.
Yes, and they always try and make funny statements.
Yeah. Just Let's continue.
Televoting, each country will award a second set of 1 to 8, 10 and 12 points to the 10 songs they like most. The televoting points from all countries will be combined and announced by the host, starting with the country receiving the fewest points from the public, and ending with the country that received the highest number of points from the televoting. So the winner will only be known at the very end of the show. In the semi-finals, the same voting system will be used, but only 10 qualifiers will be announced as usual. After the grand final, you can find the individual jury votes and televoting rankings on our website, Eurovision.tv.
Now, admittedly, when I first watched this on the show, I was confused as to what was going on, because usually in years past they had they did the combination, and then they just presented the votes, you know, the 8, the 10, and the 12.
Yeah,
by country.
But then we did find out halfway through who the winner was going to be, because they were so far ahead.
So it made for a less exciting show, because, you know, if there's a clear ahead winner, like there has been in like the years past, you're like, okay, well, let's just get on with it. And then sometimes even I think in last year, there was a point where
no, it was Conchita. When Conchita won, they were just like, okay.
Yeah, because
we have a winner.
And they still had five, they still had five people, you know, who had to read their votes. And it's just like, okay, well,
yeah.
What's the point of this? But in this particular year, work, because like literally like right up until the very, very, very last minute, like it looked like Australia could take it. And then like literally like in the last presenter handed out the points to Russia. Russia didn't have enough points to make a difference. And then that led to Ukraine winning. And it was just...
Yeah. And then you don't know how many points are coming in from the viewers, right? Mm. Like, is it 220 points or is it 330 points? Like, you have no idea. So you have to sit and watch and wait until the very, very end, unless you're really good at math, and then maybe, but
it made for a better show.
But then
you
don't even know what the number is going to be. So yeah, I think it worked way better. This was way better.
Much better show.
So
one of the things we've been doing at these Eurovision parties is, even before we had these at the Danish Canadian Club, is we'd print out score sheets. You know, usually it's from...
And who didn't want to do this?
I didn't want to do it. I was like, I was complaining. I'm like, do we have to do score sheets? But then you know what? It turned out to be a good idea.
It makes it more fun. It makes it more fun. And it starts a conversation with other people at the table, because you're like,
Who did you score?
How many points did you give to that country, blah blah blah.
So we only made,
hopefully in the future we will actually be able to for real vote.
Wouldn't
that be cool?
That would be great.
But how do we get Eurovision to accept Canada as opposed to, well, I heard China really wants to get in on too.
Oh man, that'd be crazy.
I know.
I can't even imagine. My one regret with these scorecards is we did not ask people to put their names on them.
Well, I think it's fine if it remains anonymous. Some people don't even know that I took them.
I know. I'm glad that we have them now. It's a little memento from this party. So some of the comments, I'm going to read some of the comments from some of the countries that we've talked about. And well, let's start with Ukraine. One of the attendees of the party had this to say about the Ukraine song. Not bad, despite the lack of chorus. All right.
I think the chorus, there was a chorus, but it was in the Crimean language.
Yeah. another attendee from the party said their comment on the Ukraine song was cape. That's all they had to say. Cape.
Nice.
And... But anyways, there's actually lots of good comments that were written on these score sheets that we have. But Rochelle, why don't you read some of the other ones that we have here?
Yeah, I'm not going to read the countries that the comments go with. I just think it's really funny because they're just all one words. And all of these words describe your vision really, really good. Okay.
So thank you, mystery person.
Thank you, mystery person.
Who filled out this one?
I think I know who it is, but... I don't know for sure.
Okay.
Shiny, Triangles, clock, chest plate, drum and t-shirts, tree, star face, earrings, beige jacket, moon, blue, sparkly, cages, squiggly bangs, boy band of one, drapery dress, woof.
Okay, I know that one, yeah.
Woof, hair, Depeche Mode, cape, falcon, sun hat, pink brick road, budget Coldplay, smoke.
And that's Eurovision. One more.
I love it. I love it.
And what more can you say about that?
So thank you to everybody who came down to celebrate Eurovision with us. We had so much fun watching it live with everybody. Thank you to the Danish Canadian Club. Thank you, Eurovision, even though you probably don't know who we are from Tip Top Tip. And you probably don't know where Calgary, Canada is. But we are big fans and we appreciate everything that you've done this year, Sweden, because it was an amazing show. And we didn't even talk about the fact that Justin Timberlake was the mid-performance.
Do you think he actually knew what Eurovision was?
No, because he probably would have done a bit of a different performance if he did.
I think he's currently on a press tour for his latest single, and this is one of the places they told him to stop. He's like, sure, I'll sing my song here.
But he said that he's been following Eurovision for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of like, you can say that because then you don't really have to know that much about it.
I love Eurovision.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, I'm just going to say that, like, I just wasn't really impressed by his song very much.
There was better songs that night, I have to say.
Like, his performance compared to every other performance, I kind of felt like he just showed up and did it, and he didn't utilize the stage very well.
No.
He didn't utilize like the lights, the special effects.
No.
It didn't seem like he was even aware of where the camera was, which means that they did absolutely no rehearsal because the camera was like trying to catch his eye.
Yeah.
His face. And then he was like, after you see these musicians who are on stage all by themselves.
Yeah.
And then you see Justin Timberlake singing with, I don't know how many backup singers.
Like there's a dozen and people on stage.
Like a huge band and all these other people. And yes, he's doing a lot of the dance moves himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you compare him to the solo singers, it was just like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, I'm just not feeling this at all.
0 points for Justin Timberlake.
0 points.
enter again next year.
DuPont. That's 2 points.
And we'll, this is how you learn French. That's how I learned all my French numbers.
Yeah, from Eurovision.
Anyways, let's wrap it up with the song we talked about earlier. This is Love, Love, Peace, Peace, which is the recipe of how to create a perfect Eurovision song by the hosts of this year's contest, Manzel Merlot and Petra Maid. There's not much more to say. Thanks for listening.
Although I'm looking forward to next year in Ukraine. If you want to pay for us to go there, we will accept that.
Also good.
Offer.
All right. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
If you want to win the Eurovision Song Contest, we suggest that you listen and learn.
Step one. Get everyone's attention. A powerful, majestic start. Maybe a battle horn of some kind.
Step two, drums. There has to be drums. It doesn't hurt if the drums are played by gorgeous, topless men. It's proven very efficient throughout the years. But please feel free to try other alternatives. It's proven very helpful to go the exact opposite way. Use a grandmother.
Step three. Show the viewers your country's ethnic background by using an old traditional folklore instrument that no one's heard of before.
No. In this case, it's proven much more efficient to not use a young model. Go with an old man instead. A beard helps.
This instrument is called the Swedish Kvinna Buske, a small roundish piece from the horn family inherited from the Vikings. Just make something up. No one will know. Step four. In Eurovision, nothing says winner like a violin. Trust us, bring a violin.
Step 5. The violin, the drums, and the cleanup biscuit might make it all feel a little bit old-fashioned, but this can easily be fixed by adding a DJ who pretends to scratch. In real life, of course, this is 30 years old, but in Eurovision, it will give your number a contemporary feel.
Step 6, costumes. You need to look memorable, something that the viewers will notice.
Oh, perfect. Step 7, the song. Everything else might be important, but the song is essential. Let it be about something everyone can connect to. Love works. Peace is also a popular way to go.
Peace is good. ABBA actually won the competition with a song about war, but this with Waterloo, but this is not something we recommend.
Now, when you have everything you need and the pieces gathered, go for it and don't look back.
Let the song begin with passion, let the wind begin to blow.
You can break the rules of fashion and your chance to win shall grow. Look into the TV camera so the audience can see
that you're lovable, not desperate, smile and they will vote for me.
Fill the stage with light as dancers will join us. The expectations grow, it's time for the chorus.
We're in love.
It's you and me, and when we change the